This week, we're talking with Jen Kranick, Kate Steifman, Ella Newcomb, and Lena Golia. Jen is a fourth year who's graduating in December, and Ella, Lena, and Kate are all first years in their first semester. We wanted to see how their perspectives on life at Oberlin compare and have changed during their time here. Thank you all so much for being with us today.
Yay!
Yay!
That's great. We got a whole crowd. Would you want to go and introduce yourselves with your name, pronouns, and major, and then what you do on campus, starting with Jen?
Sure. I'm Jen Kranick. I use she, her, and her pronouns. I'm a biology major and chemistry and rhetoric minors. I'm the captain of the Oberlin College dressage team, the co-chair of the student honor committee, and I conduct research in the chemistry department on campus.
Hi, I'm Ella Newcomb. I use she or hers. I'm hoping to be a psychology major and a concentration in education. I do the Swing Expo and I'm part of the Swing and Blues Club. I'm also a co-DLEC in Pyle with Johan.
Hi, I'm Lena Golia. I use she, her. I am currently undecided but taking courses in theater and religion. We just wrapped up The Wolves, a play that performed this weekend. I am on the rugby team and am a student senator.
Hi, I'm Kate Steifman. I am a first year. They said that already. I am an undecided major, hoping to go into creative writing. And I am in the gear co-op. Ooh, I don't know. I don't cool. do that much.
That's great. That's so good. Thank you so much for being here. We're excited to have such like a wide-ranging group of people in the studio. This will be super wonderful to talk with you all.
Yeah. So for our first question, let's talk about first impressions. So what were all of your first impressions of Oberlin?
I guess my first impression is the oldest of the first impressions in this group. For me, it was almost surreal, for lack of a better word. I came into Oberlin having read tons of brochures, tons of student blogs, and to get to live all of these experiences that other students have had previously was surreal to me, to get to experience it all.
My first impression with Oberlin was actually 4 years ago, when my brother came here. We were moving him in as a freshman, and I didn't have a lot of opinions. I'd heard a lot of stories about Oberlin through my family, but I didn't really think about it as a college I would be at. And then I was here freshman year and really excited my first few days, and I had a great roommate and made great friends right away and was just really excited to be here.
My first impression was on the All Roads weekend, and it ended up like it was just me and this like group of six people, and we sat outside the Oberlin Hotel and just talked until like 1 a.m. And so my first impression was just of like a friendly group of people that I just like weirdly found that I connected with really easily.
I had a very similar first impression of that. I was a prosby. I did a fly-in program and ended up just getting shown around campus by this like really enthusiastic group of first years. That's how I found the gear co-op. I like ended up at a co-op meeting on my prosby trip. There was lots of music when I was here all around.
So how have those impressions changed in the time that you've been here, if at all?
I think for me, they've only gotten stronger. Ella's my roommate, and so I was lucky to find that connection very quickly, and so having like this group of people that I automatically connected with and having like Ella there too made things just feel a lot easier, and getting involved from things from the start was also something that I found super exciting and also helpful for me to branch out of just knowing first years.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I think Lena and I have had a similar experience because we live together, sort of together a lot, and I felt really lucky to have met really wonderful people, and basically everyone I've met at Oberlin is someone I want to get to know better, and my co-op has given me the opportunity to get to know a lot of older students as well. I really love all of the older students that are helping guide me through my first year. We appreciate you.
Even though we're so old.
Yes, we appreciate you and your oldness.
The elderly.
I guess it hasn't changed that much for me either. Everyone here is just so, it's such a supportive environment. Like, everywhere you go, I just always feel very welcomed, and it's very wonderful.
Yeah, I basically have only things to reiterate. Never again will I be in a place like this that has such a community feel, that like is so unique in so many aspects, from the relationships I have with professors to the feelings of eating co-op meals with an incredible group of friends twice a day. It's just feelings I'll never have again, and I've really come to appreciate them.
Oh, yeah, that's really sweet. So what's one thing that maybe surprised you after, like, you started at Oberlin, and what do you wish you had known coming into Oberlin as a first year?
I was not expecting to like my roommate as much as I do. I mean, we chose each other, but I think I had a sneaking suspicion, as my whole family has had horrible first-year dorms, that it was just going to go terribly, but it is definitely the best experience I've had here. And I feel very lucky that it didn't go awry.
This is going to sound really silly, but I was so surprised by the prevalence of sports here.
Yeah.
Like, I was just so confused. I was like, this is liberal arts college. Why is there a basketball team? But, yeah.
Have you been able to engage in that space at all? Like, have you, like, found yourself going to any sports games, or still just been, like, just been pursuing things?
Actually, yeah, I kind of, yeah, I've been to a couple sports games, and I surprisingly enjoyed them. I like music, and I don't like sports, but I've actually enjoyed going. It's, like, a fun go with your friends, and I grew up in the city, so I never got to do that either. There weren't. Yeah.
I was a bit scared of, like, the small town, because I'm from LA, but I think that there's nothing to worry about, and I feel very, like, I barely even go further than the dorm, even though, like, the city is on campus. I'm like, whoa, so far. So, nothing to worry about there.
That's all, like, incredibly touching, and I think it's, like, really sweet to think about, and I'm glad that it sounds like things are going so well, like, especially for the first years. I'm sort of surprised, because I think my first year, in many ways, was, like, incredibly difficult and like, very hard, just in unexpected ways. And maybe, like, you don't want to get into that, that's totally fine. But also, maybe Jen, if you have thoughts about, like, how things have changed or just, like, differed from your first year.
Yeah, I think first year I was initially shocked by the idea that my life wouldn't be the same as, like, a junior or a senior that I was friends with. They all had these super established lives of being captains of 14 sports teams and, you know, being the president of three other clubs, and I just felt like they were doing so much on campus, and I was like, wow, I will never be that cool. But somehow I've made it here, and I think I'm, like, a pretty okay Oberlin student and rather involved in the community here. So even if you feel like you're not involved in a lot of things right away, don't worry, because you'll get there by surprise.
I think one moment that was really funny for me this semester, which goes off what Johan was saying, is that I'm the course writing associate in a first-year seminar that Kate is in, and all the first-years got back from fall break, and our professor was asking them, oh, like, how was your break? How was going home? And you all were just sort of going through what I realized was the first time of leaving Oberlin as your home and then coming back to Oberlin, and that, to me, as a senior, was just something that I had totally forgotten how jarring that experience is, and how much it changes you to see home after you've been at Oberlin for a little bit. So I'm curious how you all think of Oberlin as a home, and if you feel like it's becoming a home, or if you're totally comfortable here, or if you still think of, like, where you're from as home, and how that has changed over the course of the semester or over the course of 3.5 years.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing was I had no idea how to pack to go home for fall break. Like, I was like, all of my things are here, and I've never packed to, like, go back to my own home. So it was weird. I forgot my toothbrush. Like, and it was funny because my sister is a senior, and she came home with her friend and they both also forgot their toothbrushes. And then my brother's girlfriend came home and she forgot her toothbrush too, so nobody had toothbrushes in my house. But that was a weird experience.
Yeah, I think I've come to really appreciate the time I have at Oberlin and the time I have left at Oberlin, particularly this semester, although almost in all semesters. I spent the majority of the year 2018 in Oberlin. I spent the, like, or I guess, yeah, almost 2018. I spent, like, a summer, a full year, and winter term here, so definitely, like, appreciated Oberlin to its fullest, and it really became home to me then. And I hope even after I graduate that it continues to feel this homey feel.
Yeah, I mean, I moved around a little bit from LA to China and then back, so I felt like I had like a sense of like adjusting and accepting things to be home. Also, I went home and my family was like, yeah, we're selling the house, which I'm so proud of them if they're listening. It's a beautiful new home. I hope they love it. Great views. But it was also hilarious that I was like, well, I mean, good thing I already have one back here.
Yeah, I think I adjusted to at least calling Oberlin home. My mom's listening. I was on the phone with my mom, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go home now. And she's like, no, you're going to go to your dorm. You live here. You live in New York. And I just, like, I just adjusted to sort of, like, I live here now, and I'm, like, cool with it.
One of you talked about sort of how you think it'll... how your perception of Oberlin will change over the years. Have you thought at all about, and maybe this is, for some of you, maybe this is like way in the distance. For Jen, I think it's like right around the corner. But your like relationship with Oberlin as an alumni, it's interesting on our show, just like the past couple of weeks, we've been talking with former OB journalists who like helped work on the show in the past, and how their relationship with the school has adapted over time, now that they're, like, not physically here and not engaged in the same way. How do you think you'll sort of engage with Oberlin as an alumni, or how would you hope that you would do that?
Even thinking of myself as an alumni is kind of scary. but it's also kind of exciting to watch the space grow even when I'm not here. I really hate the idea of change, and I think that's part of the reason why I didn't study abroad. I just really wanted to see everything through while I was here at Oberlin, but it's almost like a, I don't know, proud mother duck moment of, like, letting everyone, like, here continue to thrive even without me, and, like, let these, like, clubs that I've really put my, like, heart and soul into, like, the dressage team of, like, really growing it, and hopefully watching them like continue to grow and compete over the next few years, I think will be really exciting to watch from a distance.
Jen, and this question I guess could be for all of you, but particularly Jen, like were there any moments throughout your Oberlin career that you doubted your relationship with the school? Because clearly you have like a very deep-seated love for it, but have there been moments where that love has faltered?
Off the top of my head, no, but I'm sure that there were moments. I know that there were definitely moments freshman year. I didn't apply to other schools. Like, I refused to tour other schools. I didn't write other applications. It was, like, kind of, like, Oberlin this or nothing. And so when I saw my friends, especially first semester freshman year, have all these really awesome experiences at other schools, especially schools that were similar to Oberlin, like Middlebury or Kenyon, I was, like, oh no, did I pick the wrong one? Are they having more fun right off the bat than I am? But it wasn't until like my fall break of my freshman year when I like found like a really solid group of friends actually through the horse team that I was like, oh no, this is my place.
That's a great question. And maybe it hasn't happened yet. I know there's like a very specific time that I can think of where I realized like, oh, this is a place where I feel comfortable and like, this is like the right decision that I made, or at least like I feel good about the decision I made. And it definitely like took a long time. Was there, or has there been any sort of feeling like that, or maybe like the opposite where you're like, this like sucked, I really wish I like had not come here?
I mean, that first snow was pretty jarring. I was like, oh no, but it's okay, it's melted now, so we're fine.
the weather is tough. That's like pretty much been my only doubt about coming to Ohio. Actually, yeah, Ohio kind of scares me as a city person. Like, I like had to sort of make a conscious decision to be like, cool with it. I sound like such a like New York like snob, but like moving from New York City to Ohio was definitely a really big change, but I honestly really love it here, and like it just smells nice here. It doesn't smell like pee all the time, which is really cool. So no, I was like pretty, besides the cold.
I think the thing that scared me was eating in a co-op that has had meat twice, as I am a very big meat eater. And the moment that I was like, oh no, was when I had a craving for tofu. And I was like, oh no! That was very scary.
That was my proudest moment, Bella.
I think I talked a little bit about it, but it was definitely like the first weekend of my fall break freshman year. I went away to my first equestrian team competition, and it was the like first time that I felt like I had a community on campus. By the end of the weekend, my like face hurt from smiling, my abs hurt from laughing, and it was kind of that feeling of being like, oh, like I can be happy again. And I had almost like forgotten what it felt like to have a community and to just laugh so hard and be so crazy and dorky for 2 days.
I think it might be interesting too to talk about the differences in terms of like academic resources and co-curricular resources that, you know, have taken place since, you know, all of our freshman years until now. For example, like as seniors, we didn't have the PAL program. So I think that might be just kind of an interesting discussion to have, is like what sort of avenues for support have been created and what do we think the effect of those may be?
I wish I had the PAL program. I mean, Johan was in my dorm freshman year, and I clearly, like, distinctly remember the second night of college ever. We all convened in the lounge, all 10 first years of us, and we played games, and I was like, this is cool, this is what college is about. And then 2 days later, we were all lonely again, so I would definitely wish we had the PAL program.
I really, like, I feel lucky the PAL program, I found a lot of friends through the PAL program, and I think we connect as like a PAL group. And it was cool to like go into Cleveland that first week and have like a group of people that you know are also feeling all the same exact things that you're feeling right then and there.
Mm. My PAL group was odd because
roast them.
Because most of the people on the second day of PAL realized they had signed up for a first year seminar that involved dancing, and none of them wanted to dance. So like half of my PAL group dropped my first year seminar. So I don't see any of them ever. But I did meet one girl in my, well, two. One of them who I sat with on the way to Cleveland and is now always hangs out in our dorm, and another one who's in my co-op and walked with me to our first OSCA picnic. And I definitely say she's one of my best friends here, solely because of that bonding experience of not knowing where Tank was and having to find it together. And I felt very lucky for that experience.
Yeah, I haven't like established super, super close relationships with kids in my PAL group, but my PAL leader, I like look up to so much, and she's like a really great resource to have. I like send her stupid questions all the time. Like, I got lost so much my first week, and I just, like, asked her where stuff was. Sorry. Yeah.
I think that one thing that's really funny as a senior is that you realize that, like, even this experience you're talking about where you have these people who are in your PAL group and then they drop and then you never see them again, you're definitely going to see those people again. People at Oberlin turn up in so many weird ways where you have a class with someone once and you think you're never going to see them again, and then all of a sudden you're like deeply connected to them in some way. Like Johan and I met at Art Rental freshman year, and I didn't have a tent, but my friends and I wanted to camp out, so we like shared Johan's tent, and it was aww, like we didn't really talk, and
it was so weird.
Yeah. But then I feel
so sorry for you.
You wore like an NPR shirt, I think, the next day or something, and we started talking about podcasts, and here we are 3 years later. But anyway, yeah. But Jen, have you found experiences like that where you feel like people have showed up in different ways in your life and at Oberlin in ways you didn't anticipate?
100% yes, and definitely this semester. I think between people being abroad last year, so friend groups were kind of like scattered, and I think friend groups were forced to develop with whoever was left, especially last spring where it felt like the entire junior class left Oberlin. But it was really fun because everyone kind of like jigsawed around, and then this fall when everyone came back, all of my friend groups now overlap in this like wonderful way where I'm like, let's hang out, and like everyone that I was ever friends with is there, which is just awesome.
That's so fun.
Look forward to it.
I mean, Jen, you and I were co-chairs of the honor committee together, and I think I speak for both of us when we like didn't know each other that well, and then here we are a couple years later and we're living together. So
this is
yeah,
also true.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, our fourth housemate, she was in my first year seminar, and we really hadn't talked at all since first year seminar fall, and then now we live together. So friends do show up in weird places, like your house.
Do you think going forward, you'll try to seek out OBs after you've graduated? Yeah.
I hope so. They're all cool people. Like, everyone I've met here has been awesome. I think it's a direct path to finding more awesome people.
Do you think that's at all, like, limiting? I think my sister, like, went to similar, like, a small liberal arts school. And since post-grad, it's been really cool to see that some of her friends are people she went to school with, but, like, didn't really ever talk to when she was on campus with them. But now they're just sort of, like, in the same circle. Do you think there's, like, I don't know, do you anticipate, like, making friends with Oberlin people who you would, like, never have talked to on campus once you've left?
Probably. I think it's, like, a safer way of initially meeting someone just because you know that you've had at least some number of shared experiences. So, you know, you have at least something to talk about, whether it just be, like, where'd you live freshman year? Like, what classes did you take? Who was your favorite professor? Like, even that, like, basic conversation is really easy to start with someone you know have had similar experiences with.
Yeah, both my parents are Oberlin graduates, so they have had a lot of weird experiences of running into random people that they somehow had a relationship with in their 4 years. And my mom ran into a guy, she was telling me this story while she was here, at one of her, like, teacher meetings, like, 4 years, no, like, 20 years ago. And the guy was like, wait, what's your name? And she was like, Lily Newcomb. And he was like, Newcomb? Like, did you change your name? And she's like, yeah, like, I married Charles Newcomb. And he goes, oh my god, Charles Newcomb got married? And I think that that's a funny story, in that, like, you'll find Obies and they'll still remember you in just the worst ways and the best ways.
Yeah, well, sorry. No, go ahead.
There, during, like, orientation week in one of the presentations, I think, they were like, fun fact, 60% of Oberlin graduates marry other Oberlin graduates.
That's what I was about to say.
And I... What?
Scary.
That's so scary.
Everyone knows that one.
Yep.
How do you all feel about that?
Someone asked me my first week. So it's a weird statistic that a lot of Newcombs have been to Oberlin, and it's even weirder that almost every single Newcomb is married to a Newcomb that went to Oberlin. And it's weird because my first week of school, someone asked me, do you feel like there's a lot of pressure? And I was like, well, now I do!
Yeah, that's just a concept I, like, have not been able to wrap my mind around. Like, it's such a small school, too. And it's I guess the sad is it doesn't have to be someone who's here at the same time as you, but it's such a small, it's so small.
Maybe you've already met them.
Like, don't say that to me.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, two of our housemates, Katie, are currently dating Oberlin students, so our house is at a 50% right now.
Below average.
than average, but I mean, I can definitely see why it's something that happens. I mean, we're so similar to each other in a lot of ways and have similar interests and have similar intellectual just like drives and searches for knowledge that it makes sense that if, you know, like our best friends are Oberlin students, that we like want to spend the rest of our lives with them too.
Do you think that's at all troubling though, and that it sort of preserves the sense that there's the Oberlin bubble and that just like continues afterwards?
Yes.
Heck yeah.
I think it's a lot of small bubbles that kind of make up one big bubble, but the like hub of all the bubbles is here.
The hub of bubbles.
That's exactly what I was thinking. My grandparents have a farm and they don't exclusively hire OBs, but they hire like 90% OBs. So I'd say there's definitely a bit of an Oberlin bubble over there.
One of the other things that I think is really, like reflecting back on when I was looking at different schools and trying to choose where I would end up, was thinking this decision is like so important for like the future of, you know, like everything I do, and really like concentrating on that and having it be a difficult decision because I was so preoccupied with like this one school will like change my future. And I think what helped me in making that decision was being like, well, it really depends on like what you make it and what like you can decide what you study and sort of cultivate it as you will. But on the other hand, like being here now and seeing to the extent that like OBs are like, I don't know, just like hanging out with OBs and talking to people who have graduated, it does like worry me a little bit, just the extent that like that one decision does have an impact on your life. Would you share that, or do you have any thoughts about that?
I wouldn't worry about it. It's not worth worrying about. Like, you'll hang out with OBs, but you'll hang out with other people too, and that's what I keep telling myself as I, like, imagine moving to a new city or a city I'm, like, somewhat familiar with in January when I start a new job. It's the idea of, like, the other OBs will all still be here. Like, the whole class that I started with, like, all of my friends in Pyle will all still be having Pyle meals without me. Which is a crazy concept, because I want them having dinner with me in Philadelphia. But, like, there'll be other people there, and some of them might be OBs, and some of them might have gone to other small liberal arts schools, but a lot of them probably won't have, and I think that's okay, too.
Yeah, I constantly think about the seniors, or just the older students that, you know, like, we knew when we were freshmen. And yeah, I think you alluded to this before, but they felt so much older than us. And it's been really interesting kind of following this trajectory of their lives post-grad. And I don't know, in a lot of ways too, I think about the ways that like, yes, my Oberlin education has changed me, and I am definitely not the same person that I was in terms of like my academics, but also just like my values and like my personality even like since coming to Oberlin. But I think it doesn't at the same time like really change the core of who you are, and I think like there is something really special about the people that self-select in a way into Oberlin. Yeah. Do you all have any thoughts on that? Feel free to share.
I definitely wouldn't be the person I am today without my Oberlin experience, and I also can't picture going like and spending the college years anywhere else. Like, I don't really want to be a different person. I like love the person who I am intellectually. Like, I love like who I hang out with. I love like what I decide to do with my time. So I think in a lot of ways, like, yes, like I could have been a different person, but I don't really like to think about it because I'm just like so happy and content with the way that the last, I guess, 3.5 years have been.
That's really promising to hear.
I think all of this conversation raises another question for me, which is, I think that part of the reason OBs tend to stick with other OBs is that Oberlin has this very specific reputation within the world, and only people who go here, I think, can understand that from both sides, from the inside and from the outside. And I think that that's like a really specific connection you have with people. But I do think that coming here changes how you think about Oberlin, since it does have such a reputation. And I think it's hard to decide you're going to come here without everyone in your life telling you everything they've ever heard about this school. So I'm curious if your relationship with Oberlin as it exists in the world, or like as it's represented from the outside, has changed since you've gotten here, and how you sort of navigate that as a student here.
a lot of my friends from high school went to big schools that a lot of people know the names of. So I had like three different experiences with the name of Oberlin. I had the Oberlin's that hippie school, right? I had what's Oberlin, and then I had the like, wow, Oberlin's an amazing school from like academic people, but also like a random woman I met on the train who was an OB. But I definitely see that it has a different feel once you're here, that like, yeah, it is a hippie school, and yeah, it's like in a small town, but also it's a really amazing academic experience, and everyone here is really here for academics and for music and for
sports.
An aspect of like changing the world. Like I think that's something that really drew me to Oberlin, just like by the motto of Oberlin, that like they expect us to do something good for the world, regardless of it's the whole world or just one world. But yeah, I like that.
Yeah, going off of the one world thing, I found the one world thing a little daunting, but I've boiled it down to the idea of changing one other person's life. And so I feel like if you change like one other person's life, they can change one other person's life. So if one world is too daunting for you, join the club and just change one person's life.
It is a really good point, Sarah, thinking about like how other people perceive it and how people, even like talking with alumni, perceive like what's going on campus, I think is so interesting. And makes me worried that I have what I think is like such a good sort of grasp of like campus climate and all the interconnecting parts of things, and that once I leave this place and I'm not like actively involved in it, like just like reading the review or hearing what I like read in other things or emails or whatever, like won't do justice to the complexities of what's going on. So I think it's like I'm sort of beholden to nostalgia, and so I'll definitely want that, but I won't be able to like get it to the same extent. Even talking with my mom, who went to like one of President Ambar's One Oberlin touring sort of lectures, hearing back from her about her like questions about what's going on campus through the prism of what President Ambar had said was fascinating, in that I felt like it didn't quite do justice to everything that is going on. So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool to think about.
I feel that when I came here, I didn't know much about like the whole One Oberlin and the whole shift, but being on Student Senate has been something that's really given me an insight into the way that Oberlin kind of works in a way that I didn't expect to sort of acknowledge or be confronted with, especially my first like semester, first year. Like tomorrow we have the general faculty meeting that we're required to attend, and we're going to go there and listen and hear about more of the intricacies inside Oberlin. And we had a Senate meeting with the like presidents and like higher staff, and that was just something I was like, oh, these are the issues, but they're also so, they want to talk to us about this so much. They were like, we did introductions and they were like, but we just really want to answer the questions you want to ask. Like, we're here for you guys. They give us like their office hours and everything. We're like, we want you to like, we want Oberlin to be more transparent to the students and the people around them. So like, that was something I was like, oh, there's all this like interworkings that I didn't know about, but there's also action to make them more public.
Jen, do you feel at all sort of like similar to that, in that you've like unwrapped different layers of the school as you've gone along?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's fun to get to go home and talk about Oberlin to people who don't know about it. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, there's like a lot to tell. It's a huge story that's happened here. It's a huge story, I feel like, every day or every week in Oberlin, of just what it feels like to be a student here and how each week or each month or each semester is different. And I feel a lot like that when I go home sometimes. I tell a similar story just for the simplicity's sake of not needing to tell, you know, like, these four things have been the most amazing part of this semester. And I feel like a lot gets lost in just our day-to-day lives of what happens on campus. And so I think in that way, like, there isn't the same level of transparency, like, even between, like, me and my friends outside of Oberlin, or like me and my family, of like, you just like will never understand what it feels like. And I think in a lot of ways that's why OBs are drawn to other OBs, because they have these similar shared experiences or same feelings of like, you know what it feels like to do these things on campus, you know what it feels like to be in these kinds of classes, to be on a campus that's so crazy and liberal and fun at the same time.
I agree with both of those sentiments. Maybe this is just because of my work as news editor at the Review, but my impression is that Oberlin students are much more engaged and interested in the inner workings of the school and like the administration and what's going on and what's affecting like Oberlin students every day, more so than like my impression is of like my friends at other schools. They don't seem to be as interested or as engaged, and I think like a lot of parts of Oberlin there are a lot of reasons why Oberlin students are like that. Just a kind of the notion of shared governance that is here, and just kind of a commitment to transparency. But I imagine too, it's difficult as a first year just coming in and not really knowing what this whole One Oberlin thing is. It's kind of difficult to navigate that while, you know, us as seniors, like we've seen this not from the way beginning, but we've definitely seen the development of like the AAPR process and later the One Oberlin report, and as far as some of the other, you know, off-campus events, if you want to call them that, that have happened. We don't necessarily have to get into those events, but.
Yeah, I definitely feel like for me there was a moment, I don't know when it happened exactly, but it was a definite shift from viewing Oberlin as this like sort of beautiful, perfect place, which is how it's marketed to you because they want you to come here, and all colleges do that. But I think that there's definitely a shift that almost everyone goes through here of seeing Oberlin as this ideal to it becoming a real place that is deeply flawed and bureaucratic because it's an institution. But I think that that's like a very common Oberlin experience that then sort of maybe changes your trajectory as a student here and is the moment when you start wanting to become more involved. But I don't know. I don't know if that's even a question, but I definitely feel like that's something that I felt, and I don't know if you all have felt that as first years yet, or if Jen, you had that feeling any point in your time here.
Yeah, I think I felt it even a little bit on my first Prosby visit. I had this moment where like my Prosby visit wasn't what I had read in the blogs, and I was like, oh no, which one is true, which one is a lie? And then I was like, I'm too invested in Oberlin at this point, I can't change my mind. And that was sophomore year, so there was definitely time to have changed my mind, or junior year, but I didn't, and I'm really glad I did not.
I think it's been interesting for me having experienced Oberlin through my brother's experience and through mine, that like I'm having his reality, which has been already very different from what my experience was, in a good way and in a bad way. Like I think he and I came from similar ways, from coming from a school like my high school, singing in the same choir, then coming to Oberlin and having very different trajectories. So it's weird to see Oberlin through the many different layers that I have, hearing from my brother and my parents and all of the other people. And it's just, it can be overwhelming, but I'm enjoying the aspect of getting to know Oberlin as like my Oberlin apart from other people.
Yeah, I kind of always forget my cousin went here. Oops. But for a really long time, I was like, oh, like, Oberlin, oh, that's the school my cousin goes to. Like, that's where I kind of thought of it as. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should, like, look into this school. And it's been super nice to be able to, like, form my own opinion.
What do you all hope to get out of your Oberlin experience over the next few years?
I'm just really excited to try, like, everything. Like, that was one of the things that I was most excited about coming here, is, like, coming and learning about all the co-ops and all of the extracurriculars and winter term. Like, I tend to spread myself really thin over a lot of different activities, and so, like, the idea of just being able to try so many things is so exciting to me.
I feel that there was a time, like, I was doing the dance showcase, but we were also in rehearsal for the Wolves, and the show would start and I would run to different rehearsal and then I'd come back and I'd be like, this is insane, but it's like the most excited and happy like I've been in a while, because there's just so much to experience and try. And I had a really late registration slot the first time, and so I was like, all right, guess I'm taking this course. And it was like a course in East Asian rituals, and I was like, oh, turns out I found my new favorite course. Like, it's crazy, like the random things you try might turn out to be your favorite things.
Yeah, I definitely feel it. I think DLACing at Pyle was an odd choice for me. I barely even had my footing, and I was roped in and convinced by all of the older people that I knew that they were like, this is the job for you. And I'm really glad that I decided to do it, because I feel like I've gotten to know my co-op and I've gotten to know the people in a very different way. But also, it was definitely like so out of my comfort zone to do that.
Yeah, as someone who has about 30 days left in Oberlin, I think I just want to continue to take advantage of everything that's left. I like said this or alluded to it before, but this feeling of never again, of just being in the same space with all these people and just having the chance to do so much with everything that's here, I just want to continue to like thrive in this environment while I can.
I think something you're all touching on is how many opportunities there are at Oberlin. But I think that the flip side of that is that we definitely have a culture of busyness, or that's how people like to talk about it. What has been your experience with that? And do you think it's a good thing? It's a bad thing? Yeah.
I think it can be unhealthy if not done correctly. Like, breathe sometimes during your day and like put that in your GCal if that's something that helps you. But yeah, like just stay organized, like live everything you can and try everything you can and do everything you can, but also like know that it'll still be here in a week or in a month. And for me, like that's not totally true anymore, but I feel like I've checked a lot of things off of my Oberlin bucket list that I didn't even know were there just because I like forced myself to go to something or allowed myself to have time to do something I didn't think I would like.
Yeah, during ad drop, I think I was a little overzealous in some of the classes that I wanted to be in, and I went to a seminar in psychology that was so clearly like not the right choice for me to take as my freshman year, but the professor indulged me and he let me come to the first class. And although I didn't end up taking the class, I ran into him the other day and I was like really glad that I had like taken a step back and been like, it's okay, you don't have to do everything like right now. You have like, I don't know how many, 5 other semesters, right? No, that's wrong.
Yeah,
7.
So
7. So yeah, and
you
I
should add a math class to next time.
But yeah, he asked me what I was doing and I told him what I was doing and he was like, you sound like a traditional Oberlin student. And I was like, I don't think I'd be alive if I was taking your class right now. So I think it was a very good recentering experience to be like, it's okay, you don't have to do everything.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm someone who like, I don't like having free time. I really like to be doing things, and I think Oberlin is the perfect place to do that, but also a place where it's like, yeah, but it has people telling you to remember to breathe, and it's like, it's okay to have that free time, but there are also things you can fill it with in a healthier way.
Yeah. I always want to try everything, but then sometimes I try and do too many things and get really overwhelmed. So I like made myself a decision for like my first semester that I would just take things really easy and not try and get into like every single extracurricular that existed and just take it very easy. And now I feel like I'm not doing enough things, but I've sort of like come to terms with the fact that it's okay, because you don't have to be doing 50 different activities. Yeah.
It's but, a slippery yeah. slope. Once you add 2, you add 4.
Yes. Yeah.
But there's time for it, so don't worry.
Yeah, I'm gonna get to everything eventually.
But I think that's also like one of the key things I've had to discover about making myself feel happy and comfortable here is really navigating the divide between, like, what's too little and what's too much. And that's, like, it's super hard to find that sort of perfect spot, and you're probably never going to quite get there. So I think, like you said, coming to terms with it and, like, finding your space, Kate, that's, like, a really good way to talk about it. So if you know that already, like, you're set, so... Jen, I was wondering, it seems like for you, and I think like for the rest of us who are also seniors, like in a little bit longer, thinking about the transitional moment you're in is so fascinating. I remember being in like elementary school and thinking about even being like a senior in high school or in college and just being like, that's like an infinite amount of time from now. Like, I will never reach that point in my life. How would you reflect on like where you are right now and the act of sort of like being in the senior moment approaching graduation?
Yeah, I think in some ways it could appear disjointed. Like everyone will go on without me for at least a semester. But in a lot of ways, it's not for me. Like, I'm not banging at the door waiting to graduate. I think it's just a natural ending of, like, where Oberlin, like, did everything it really could for me. And I'm not saying that I'm not still learning from Oberlin, and I think Oberlin challenges me every day, but it's not the same, like, intellectual stimulation from classes, especially, that I used to love from Oberlin. Like, I feel like the course catalog here is, like, on the smaller side, and as someone who, like, has a wide range of interests but really doesn't want to take classes in all of them, I feel a little bit, like, stuck with the idea of, like, registering for yet another semester of classes. If you know me, you, like, know that I'm taking, quite a weird combination of classes this semester, and I'm just not sure that I have, like, the patience for another semester. And I think that going somewhere, like, both to do research, which is all I want to do with my day anyway, and get to do it, like, full-time and get to take classes at the university where I'll be working is just really exciting for me.
I think the same question could sort of be rephrased for all the people in their first year, which is, what has this experience been in comparison to what you expected? Because I feel like there's all this hype and all this pressure for your first semester of college because it's all anyone talks about senior year, and you know, it is a really big moment. So how has it compared to what you expected?
I think it's gone beyond my expectations in a lot of different ways. I think, socially, I didn't expect to fall into so many great groups so quickly and to feel like I have really great connections with really great people so quickly. Like, that I never expected. And I don't think I expected to enjoy my classes as much as I'd gotten a lot of feedback from my siblings being like, college courses are very different in the way that professors are with their students, and so I was definitely nervous about that, but I definitely feel like I've gotten what I really wanted out of my first semester so far, and I'm just hoping it's gonna keep getting better.
Yeah, my school in like the first semester of senior year, we had to write letters to ourselves. And I just got mine in the mail, like, a few days ago. And it was just like, hi, like, I hope you're doing okay. Like, do you like your roommate? And it was just, like, a bunch of, like, questions. But it was so weird to read that and be like, man, when, like, just a little bit ago, I had no clue what was happening. And I didn't know, like, where I was going or what my expectations were. And I think it surpassed all the expectations I didn't know I had.
But do you like roommate?
Not gonna answer that one on air.
I was like really kind of, I was very excited to come to Oberlin, but I was terrified of college in general especially because I went to a high school that didn't give grades. So I came to college expecting to like instantly fail every single one of my classes and like not understand anything, but It's actually been totally fine, if anyone was wondering. The grades are going great for me. They're going acceptably. I'm not failing. And it's really nice to sort of, like, the classes are not that big, and, like, you can go to office hours, and, like, I'm terrified of office hours, but I try and go a bunch, and I don't know. I was expecting it academically to be, like, super... it's, like, challenging, but it's challenging in a really good way and not in a scary way, which I was excited about. Yeah.
Great. Well, I think that's all the time we have for this hour. Thank you all so much for being with us. This was a lovely conversation.
Thank you guys for having us.
You've been listening to The Weekly, a production of WOBC 91.5 FM. This show was created by Daniel Marcus and Johan Kavert. This episode was produced by Sarah Doglish and Johan Kavert. The Week in Review was produced by Anissa Vitsa, Katie Lucy, and Ella Murray. As always, you can find our show on Apple Podcasts and Google Play by searching The Weekly Oberlin, and you can now also listen on the web at www.anchor.fm/the-weekly. Thanks for listening.